So fast. 閉じて、ゆっくり深く深呼吸しましょう。長くゆっくり深い呼吸を、肺いっぱいに吸って吐いて、今あなたが聴いている音楽のバイブレーションが体全体に行き渡るように、あなたは今宇宙ステーションの白いラウンジで、柔らかく美しいソファーにもたれ、とてもリラックスしています。さあゆっくり深く深呼吸しましょう。息をするたびにあなたはもっとリラックスして心地よくなっていきます。あなたの意識に深く集中してください。このテープに録音された言葉やポジティブなサジェスチョンはあなたの心の中にフィックスされて、ずっと長い間残るはずです。窓の外には果てしない銀河系宇宙が広がっています。私の声が聞こえますか？さあもっとリラックスしてください。潜在的な心のパワーを感じるようになると、あなたが本当に願うような感覚的な喜びを経験できるようになります。
Hoo-hoo-ha and hoka-hoka-hey. This is J-pop versus metal. I'm already regretting this recording, but at the top of the show, you heard Therion with typical metal bullshit. We don't really have to talk about that. Nah, it's another Serge Gainsbourg. I could edit this show, you know. I could edit the show. Whew. Anyway. Serge Gainsbourg. French singer. You might have heard of him. You should have heard of him. If you haven't, check that out. Serge Gainsbourg. Serge Gainsbourg. Very influential on J-pop. And Therion, somehow. I don't know how that happened, but their album, Les Fleurs du Mal. Okay, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on my French pronunciation. But, yeah, they did an album of covers, and there's two versions of... and I did buy this album just for this song. I had the option to just... buy the one song, but I bought the CD hoping for some kind of explanation and some kind of booklet with something, and there's nothing. I don't know what to say about that. But then life goes on, and there's two versions of the song. I don't know, they got one with it just the I don't know One with just the female singer and one with the male singer. I don't know who these people are. I don't know. No information. I could look it up, I guess, but it's not as fun. I want the booklet. I want information in the booklet. I want a booklet with information in it is what I want when I buy music. Anyway, after that we had Chibumato with the song Length of Love. Because I've been listening to that record. And that's not really one of my favorite songs on the record, but I played that song just to bring up the point that Chibumato is not Shibuyake. You know, I've been listening to the Japan 2.0 podcast is what it's called. And they play some Shibuya K that I like on there. And Chibomato. And I give kudos to these guys. They're a little younger than me. So they discovered it. They discovered... I should talk more into the thing. They discovered Shibuya K a little differently than I did. They first heard Chibomato on a video game soundtrack. And from there, look at what kind of music is this? And the Wikipedia says that they're this is going great. Shibuya K band. And so they just looked up Shibuya K and they found all those. And I got to give kudos to these guys. To going from like the early Chibomato, their hits, the songs that they're most known for are like Birthday Cake and Know Your Chicken. And these are like hip-hop verses with like punk rock sing-along choruses. And I think they originally got the tag Shibuya K because like the first single I believe they put out was a French cover. They did like a French ballad cover of Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. Chris Cornell, R.I.P. And that was kind of... That's kind of a Shibuya K move. Is it? Not really. It's not. Even that isn't. But it's in... But the, it's Japanese... It's Japanese women singing in French. And I think it's just like a quirk of 90s music criticism that they got put into this box. And I give kudos to these guys to going from like these Japanese-American... New York City, they have like a punk background. They were in punk bands in Japan and they moved to New York City. And they're basically these Japanese American girls, young women, really. And they were into Beastie Boys. And going from that to like Burt Bacharach covers, I salute to their, I salute the musical scope, the breadth of their musical taste to embrace all this stuff that has nothing to do with I don't know, Shibuya K is barely a genre, really, and but the point is, I mean, look at I've got the thing here, see, I have the booklet with information, and they got like I mean, who's on this record? I mean, you got like Sean Lennon is on the right. I feel like you're doing yourself a disservice, is what I'm saying. I mean, it's great to discover Japanese music, but I think if you really, really like Chibomato, you got to discover other music of that time that influenced Chibomato. You probably already like the Beastie Boys, of course, if you like Chibomato. What the Yoko Ono was doing at the time. Sean Lennon was in her band, of course. Maybe not, of course. But, yeah, that stuff, like, I think it was just a coincidence that there was an overlap of, like, what Shibuya K was doing and what was going on in, like, the alternate, there's not really, Shibuya K is such a great brand because it's all this music, if you go over the whole history of it. It's the early Shibuya K has nothing to do with the later Shibuya K. I don't want to talk about this too long because I could really go on. I really need to structure this. Really need to structure this argument a little bit better, but. Yeah, I mean, you go from like stuff like that is inspired by 70s soft rock and 60s, like AM. Soft rock stuff to like dance club music, and it has nothing to do with it. None of it has anything to do with it, but like in America, but they all called it Shibuya K in Japan and everyone was cool with that, but in America, like people in the 90s, no one wanted to be a genre. Everyone wanted to do their own thing, and some people wound up sounding similar, but they never really called it a genre. There was like trip hop. I think trip hop is something you have to check out if you like Chibomato. like Stereolab. There was a lot of like French influences, like krautrock influences. All this stuff was just mixed together. Everyone was just trying to be their own thing. And I don't know. It's not really a thing anymore. I don't know. Wow. So anyway, I'm going to come back to this argument. I will come back to this at another time. And now it is the part of the program where I apologize for almost everything I said in the last episode. And the episodes really should be closer together to keep doing this ridiculous feature, but I mentioned my friend Randall Fairbrook, who untimely passed on, and I didn't mean to make it sound like he had no life outside of hanging out on the internet talking about beer and weird music. That's just what I knew of him. He didn't have children, but he had a life, and if I can say one thing about Randall Fairbrook, it's that he didn't really have a sense of humor about himself or things in general, so it would be tragic to remember him fondly. And you know what else? He actually, I quoted him on one of the early things that no one cares about anymore, but on the video portion of this thing, which is how I started this experiment, he coined one of the titles of the posts. It was the Stop Making Up Words edition of J-Pop vs. Metal, which featured Behemoth and Mini Moni, featuring Bakke Tono, the Ayin guy, which no one remembers anymore, I don't think. But they had some songs where they made up words, or maybe they didn't. Behemoth was speaking in Latin, I think, in that whatever song that was. And that was Randall Fairbrook. He said that. It's hard to explain the context of that. But that was good times. And I probably had some other stuff to say. But we're moving on. I'm gonna play a bunch of stuff today. And here it is. We're going in to this with some other people that died. Actually, just one for right now, because I'm just one. Marky Smith died, and he's way outside the parameters of this program. But this first song we're gonna play is written by Momus. And it includes a fall quote by Kihime Kari. And this is the song.
Follow my feelings. Thank you. Thank you. その頃新宿じゃハンズが熱いのは武蔵野だけじゃねえ。他の町のやつらには負けれねえ。こいつらはキャンディーじゃねえ、舐めれねえ。Yeah、この街では兜受け継いだやつ決めろよ覚悟。岩尾は三代目武将、 MC 感と目が力今兜いただいて。その頃渋谷じゃ猿がゴリラが相手でも引かねえやつら。東京のジャングル好きそうなファイヤー、お前らもやけどしたいか。
レッスル渋谷、俺らが猿濡らすビッディックブパナース、そこらのカース、まとめてブラブラ。東京ナンバーワントライブは渋谷のさ。宇都宮のポストが二股の坊主、いつでも勝負いつのお嬢。またレイバンに映るフェイカス、東京練馬各地にゲリラ。鳴り止まないサイレン、立ち並ぶビルディング、暴力と金、セックスと欲渦巻く東京ビッグシティ。
N チャンドベベーレリマダフォッチャー、
準備なんかできてる大手レディ。
N チャンドベベーレリマダフォッ
チャー、飲み込んじまえ、飲み込まれる前に。
N チャンドベベーレリマダフォッチャー、
準備なんかできてる大手レディ。
N チャンドベベーレリマダフォッチャー、
飲み込んじまえ、飲み込まれる前に。準備なんかできてる大手レディ。
N チャンドクスベベ
ー、飲み込んじまえ、飲み込まれる前に。
N チャンドクスベベ
ー、準備なんかできてる大手レディ。
N チャンドクスベベ
ー、飲み込んじまえ、飲み込まれる前に。
Yeah、のマジ調子のな俺らなら高円寺じゃ、他の格だけのトライブならば引っ込んでね。あの練馬とか渋谷とか新宿ならわ、あいつらバッならばしょうがないな、してやるぜ。場所はここ、俺たちのもの、口挟むよそ者はいらないのも。 Wow、 俺たちが仕切るから書き込みな地図、ジャックが牛耳る自由気ままに生きる。
Thank you. コーネリアスでラブパレードお聴きいただきました。
浮気のシスター、それともシスターボーイ、毛皮のヴィーナス、もちろんフェイクファー、歩けないほど高いヒールでやっと壁にもたれてる。おかしなメイクアップ、おへそにスパンコール、サテンのシャツの背中はシースルー、ガーターベルトにフィッシュネスタッキン、みんなじっと見とれてる。目立ちたがり屋のあなたには裸はあんまり合わない。おーおーおーおーおー、着物着物着物着物着物着物着物着物着物。エナメル素材のの前の無口なカウボーイ、余計なおしゃべりしなけりゃ今夜はボロは出ないさ。アンディ・ウォーホルみたいなヘアウィッグ、モッドなブラックスーツ、スリムなシルエット、レザーのパンツ、プラットフォームシューズ、エルヴィスみたいなビキニショーツ、インテリジェントなあなたには裸はもちろん似合わない。
Well, that was something. It really occurs to me I got to take better notes, and I had a bunch of stuff to say. It's just not organized correctly at the moment, but we can talk about that later. I think I've... whatever. You know what? Let me just tell you what you heard. You heard Kimi Kari, which I talked about a little bit. And if you just tuned in, this is a podcast. I don't understand what you're doing. This is something you've already been listening to. I don't know if you just want someone else was playing it or the computer speakers and you walked in the room and now you're paying attention to it. I don't know why. But go back to the beginning if you're interested. Kimi Kari, Good Morning World, with from the self-titled, in America, self-titled thing that came out, compilation. And that was Momus. That's a Shibuike song. That's Shibuike. And except when Momus sings it on his own record. Maybe he doesn't do that. I don't think he does that. I don't think he did it with that song. Yeah, he didn't. But all the other songs that he wrote, I think, he performs on his own records, just singing in his own voice. And no one considers that Shibuike, I don't think. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying with this? I don't know. Can you send me an email or something? Or leave a comment somewhere or something? Nobody does. I don't want to be the guy that says no one. I don't want to be the guy that makes a podcast and says no one listens to the podcast, because it's slightly insulting to people that are listening to the podcast. They feel like they're morons for tuning into something that no one likes. But thank you for listening to the podcast. I know you may not exist right now as I'm recording this, because it's a time delay thing, you understand. But as you listen to it, you exist. The recording now becomes, now it makes sense. It's going to make sense. As you're listening to this now. So, you're out there. And you're probably just, you could just be one person. I think it's in the high single digits, is what I think. But anyway, after that, we heard Big Business with Battlefields. Got some alliteration in there. And then Yonin Bayashi, which is not the band I thought it was. I just picked that out. I was just picking out some songs. Just having some fun picking out some songs. And I forgot that was the prog band, Yonin Bayashi, and not the... I'm not sure who I was thinking of, to be honest. But there was a more metallic band with a similar name. But it doesn't matter. Yoshimi and Yuka after that. Yoshimi from the Boredoms, drummer for the Boredoms, one of the drummers from the Boredoms. And Yuka Honda from Chibamato. And that does not sound like Shibuike at all, because it's not. And Tokyo Tribe soundtrack. What do we got here? I have the whole thing here. See, I got the whole thing with all the booklets. We got that was Rising Tribes Part 2. MC Show. This is not very helpful. Nerdy Motherfuckers. Ridiculous. Ego Luda Vito Vocaccio. I don't know. Are these, some of these guys are real rappers. Some of these guys are just actors from the movie. Who don't really have any business rapping, and the whole thing is kind of ridiculous. The neighborhoods in the Tokyo Tribe movie are probably the safest urban parts of the world. Now, there is actually in the Kansai region, a little bit south of Tokyo, down in Osaka. And some in there, there's some grittier neighborhoods where there is a legitimate hip-hop scene, but it's not really Tokyo's. Tokyo's much more... It's interesting. It's like an alternate universe Japan. I like the movie. The soundtrack, I'm a little disappointed in the soundtrack. I bought the soundtrack. I got it used. I didn't pay a whole lot of money for it. Don't worry about it. I'm a little disappointed it did not feature a Cyborg Kaori. Cyborg Kaori. Cyborg Kaori. The beatboxer. She does the little beatboxing. She does like a whole, like, I guess it's like, it sounds like it's just a cappella on the set. So I guess they figured, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put that on the soundtrack. It's not very professional. Unlike the other stuff they put on here. I don't know. It's pretty like slick, kind of serious. When you just have the soundtrack by itself, it's kind of like, oh, like, are they serious? They're actually serious about this. I don't know. Anyway, you can't have everything. And then Makinomiya from Peace God of Five, of course, with Love Parade. But that was a live concert, and it's out on iTunes or whatever. I just happened to stumble upon it, and it was a live show of Maki Nomiya, the lovely Miss Nomiya Maki, singing Shibuike standards, and that's what that is. Not the greatest. It's not my favorite form. It's not my favorite setting for her voice. They tried to do the jazz thing. And that's the other thing about like Chiwamato. Like, there's actually like actual jazz cats on that record. There's like Josh Roseman's on that record playing trombone. They got Mark Rubo. They got some other people. Dave Douglas is playing trumpet. These are real jazz guys. Shibuike, I associated with, there's some good musicianship on it, But it's all like studio dudes, mostly. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference. And it's like, you know, the other thing, that this is like a main thought I've been having. Shibuya K, like, the main emotional thrust is nostalgia. They're not really singing about their own lives. Like, pop music in general, they try to make it a general... Pop music is usually not someone's personal life. The songwriter is writing for another singer, and they're going to try to say something that appeals to people in general. You know what I mean? And I think that's still art, but it's different than trying to write something that's about your personal life. And I think Chibamato, they take a weird approach to it, but I feel like it is personal. Like, whatever the fuck The Lint of Love is, I don't know what that song is really about. That's a weird abstract take on whatever. I'm not going to guess. All right. But it's personal, right? And Shibuya K, in general, is like not really about... It's not even about nostalgia about your own life. It's nostalgia about hearing other music. You know what I mean? It's like you can remember your first love or that summer you had so much, you had fun. But Shibuya K, you could write a song about that, but Shibuya K is kind of like singing songs about, like, remember when you heard that song about the other guy singing about that. It's like a meta genre. The whole thing is meta. And I think that last piece of Kata 5 record, like, a lot of people said, like, this is like funny music to us. Like, a lot of people in the West, people, music critics writing about Shibuya K, thought it was funny because the Japanese don't understand irony. Like, this is very ironic to us, but they don't really understand it. And I feel like that last record, which is not very good, the Japanese aren't practiced, perhaps, at irony and sarcasm, but they understand it, you know? So I feel like they were a little bit insulted by the reaction to their music, and they made that last record, which was trying to make some kind of statement about, like, yeah, we understand what we're doing, all right? Like, we get it. We understand our own thing. It's like, you didn't just discover this, and, like, now it's, like, your thing that only you understand, and we're just, like, making this, you know what I mean? And then you heard, after that, you heard TV Jesus with Kimono, which is covered on that last piece, Kata 5 record. And then you heard perhaps an apt song for this episode. I'm a little all over the place. I could use some sleep, to be honest. Shonen Knife, Mass Communication Breakdown from the Candy Rock album. Kind of a forgotten Shonen Knife album. It kind of got lost in the shuffle. Never got the distribution in America. It was like that weird time when the band was just... it was just Naoko and Atsuko playing all the instruments, trying to keep it together. It's not their best record, I don't think. It's not like an uncovered, whatever. It's a good record. It's not my top 10 records, but by Shonen Knife. But I don't know why I'm qualifying this so much. Whatever. And then you heard Takwami with Moonlight, but with parentheses around the O's and an underscore between them, so it looks like a face. And then there's like a weird N. It's like a mathematical symbol. And across, because this is a religious program, of course. Happy Passover. Believe in rock and roll. Don't let a few jerks try to ruin rock and roll for you, alright? Ted Nugent, although he may be a competent guitar player, don't try to front on Ted Nugent's guitar playing, alright? That's another tangent, alright? Some people just don't like art, alright? Some people don't like art, you know? But anyway, Ted Nugent does not like the movie Wild Zero. Alright? Just count on that. He doesn't like it. And if you haven't seen it, see the movie. That's it.